Let us pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. For you indeed are the one who strengthens us and redeems us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, there was a Ziggy cartoon. And Ziggy was walking down the street talking to himself about how great a day it was for a walk, maybe kind of like today. And the next frame shows a preacher standing in the park preaching to a bunch of listeners. And he's saying, "Sinners, you're all sinners. You're all going to the devil. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth and fire and brimstone. Give up your heathen ways. Repent before it's too late. We pass this way only once. Only once." And in that last frame, Ziggy's walking past and he mutters to himself, "Boy, that's for sure. The next time I'm taking a walk over, I'll be on Baker Street." When it comes to sin, like Ziggy, we prefer to change streets. We don't want to talk about our sins. Yet, as a psychologist friend once told me, virtually 90% of all people whom he saw had the same disease, each with its varied symptoms. Under all their fears and insecurities with others and themselves lay the inability to feel forgiven by God. And today, as we close out this series on the Lord's Prayer, we're talking about sin, the forgiveness of it, and the temptation to do it. The first, we don't want to dwell on, and the second, we hope doesn't happen. When we pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," we're talking about sins. In fact, the modern translation of the prayer uses sins rather than debts or trespasses. "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." And we interpret this to mean that we're asking God to forgive us as much as we forgive others. However, that's not the case. Because if that were the case, we would not experience much forgiveness because we have a hard time forgiving other people. We have a real tendency to hold on to grudges. If we look at our Genesis passage, now most of you all know the story of Joseph. His father loved him, gave him the Technicolor dream coat and all that good stuff. His brothers got sick and tired of Joseph bragging and all of that they put him in a ditch. They were going to kill him, but they said, one of the brothers, "No, let's just give him, sell him to a caravan as a slave." So they did. He ended up in Egypt, where he was a slave, and he interpreted Pharaoh's dream that they were going to have 7 good years, and then there was going to be 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of making sure they had enough for the famine. And he succeeded. And his brothers, experiencing the famine in their land, came to Egypt to get food. And they don't recognize Joseph. I mean, they sold him to be a slave. They didn't expect him this grand vizier-type person with all the robes and everything, looking like an Egyptian, to be their brother. And he recognizes them. In our passage today, is about Joseph forgiving his brothers and seeing what they did to him as the hand of God working to preserve the family. How many of us could have done that? Forgiven brothers or sisters or anybody who sold us into slavery like that? I think very few of us could have. We would have been so angry. Now, grant, Joseph did, before our passage today, and when the brothers first came down, did play some tricks on his brothers and got them really scared for themselves. But in the end, he forgives them, and the family is saved. So what we are praying for is for God to forgive us and to help us forgive others, to be like Joseph. Prayer must offer confession and help us to do better. And Jesus is the example. Jesus says, pray then like this. And so this prayer is an example, just as Jesus' life is an example. Even when we did the worst to him by nailing him to the cross, Jesus didn't call down divine retribution. No, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He forgave us. And we are challenged to recognize our sin and to have the strength of hope and hope to forgive others. However, when we confess our sins, we have to hear the forgiveness. There are many who ask for forgiveness, but then feel like they never got it. They're like the man in the following story. And the pastor who this man went to was the one who told this story, so it's a true story. Man came to the pastor in a week in church, and he was so distraught because he thought he'd done the unpardonable sin. And he considered suicide because he could not live with himself. And the man sat there, shaken to the core. Consoling words would not work for him. So the minister took the man, sat him down in the sanctuary, went back, put on his robe, came back out into the sanctuary, had the man kneel in front of him, placed his hands on his head, and intoned the words of forgiveness. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Go and sin no more. And the man left a changed person, ready to forget the past and begin a new life. In 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, we will once again experience the black depths of human sin in the events of Holy Week. And it's a time to remember our debts, our sins. And the good news is that there's a third day. And that day is the gift of God's grace and mercy that washes us clean of the stain of our sin. That's why we have the cross that reminds us of our sins, and the daffodils remind us of the third day. And then there is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Would God ever lead us into temptation? Well, we say no, but there are many today who believe that God does test us. The writer of the book of James says that's wrong. No one, when tempted, should say, I'm being tempted by God. God does not tempt. But can't we blame some of the stuff in our lives as God testing us? At first glance, we kind of think that's not God testing us. But I think many people do believe that. That God is testing. There have been a number of times in my ministry when people have been going through difficult times in their lives because of ill health or hardships. And they say things like, God doesn't give anyone more than they can handle. And I find that statement to be a palatable way of saying, God is testing me. So then, if we have this understanding, does this mean the statement is moot, that we don't have to worry about it, that we can take it out? No. Because what this position is really saying is, do not put us to the test, for we would surely fail. It's a statement of understanding. Not so much a petition, but a statement of understanding. The understanding the inability of humanity to make ourselves right with God. And it throws us back onto the grace of God and Jesus Christ. Lead us not into temptation is not a petition. It's a statement of understanding. So then, well, what do we do with stories like Abraham's near sacrifice of Isaac called the Akedah? What do we do with the book of Job? And what do we do with those other stories in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, where people understood God testing them and making their lives hard and so forth? Well, we begin by recognizing that these were attempts by people in an earlier time and culture to understand why bad things happen to them when they believed in a God who blessed the faithful. Over time, other ideas have emerged as to what this passage or this verse really means. Richard Osling, in a piece entitled The Lord's Prayer at Issue, Does God Lead Us into Temptation?, shares the following thought. Pope Francis delved into this in December during a series about the Lord's Prayer on Italian Bishops' TV channel. It's not a good translation because it speaks of a God who induces temptation. He said, rather, I am the one who falls. It's not him pushing me into temptation to then see how I have fallen. U.S. Catholics, New American Bible, formerly read, subject us not to the trial. While the 2011 revised edition says, do not subject us to the final test. An official footnote explains, Jewish apocalyptic writings speak of a period of severe trial before the end of the age, sometimes called the Messianic woes. And this petition asks that the disciples be spared the final test. Some scholars have adopted this end times interpretation, but I don't like it, and there are other interpretations out there. Experts also disagree on whether believers ask delivery from abstract evil or from a personal evil one like a devil. So you see, even today, after how many years, we're still struggling with what this means for us. New translations of the Bible have sought to rephrase this portion of the Lord's Prayer. Keep us from being tempted. Do not cause us to be tempted. Don't allow us to be tempted. Do not bring us to hard testing. Keep us clear of temptation. Keep us safe from ourselves. I like that one. Keep us from sinning when we are tempted. Don't let us yield to temptation. Rescue us every time we face tribulation. Those are all interpretive or translations of that passage. You see, the message of Genesis chapter 1 is that everything God creates is good. God does not send bad things to test or to scare us into submission. God is the one who gives us the strength to work through the hardships in spite of the havoc that they wreak. Many still believe that catastrophes are the will of God, though. And I believe they do that because it seems to give divine sanction to their suffering. But God is good and can only do good. That is the message of the cross. God in Christ could have called down, as I said before, retribution for the cross, but instead humanity was forgiven. And the curtain in the temple that separated God from humanity was ripped apart as a sign that God was now with all the people. So we cannot and we must not blame God when bad things happen to us. They must not be seen as God's vengeance on the sins of people, as some pastors and others like to say. And we can be grateful that God does not test us and reach out to God in difficult times. We can and must be grateful for this prayer by Jesus given to us to enable a relationship with God and to teach us about that relationship, what it means for us. May God help us always to think about what we are saying when we pray this prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Amen.